Morning, I'll read to you from Psalm 13. Psalm 13. Give ear to the word of the Lord. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemy say I have prevailed against him, lest those who trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, because he has dealt bountifully with me. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray together. Our God and our Father, we praise you. We thank you. We rejoice that you have been good to your people Israel. We rejoice that you have delivered us from sin and death, that you have raised up our Lord Jesus as King of kings and Lord of lords to rule over all the kings of the earth, such that we can rest in knowing that not a hair falls from our head apart from your sovereign determination. We pray, O Lord, that as we consider your word today and the struggle of living as your people in the midst of a fallen world full of enemies, full of sin, full of death and disease, and inhabited by evil beings who would tempt us and lead us astray. Our God and our Father, we pray that you would grant us grace to understand how to deal with these times, how to respond to them in faith, even as our Lord Jesus did. For we pray this in his name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, as we've emphasized in the weeks that we have so far been in the Psalms, Psalm 9 through 12 thus far, Psalms 9 through 15 contrast the righteous and the wicked and highlight that God is the king. He is the ruler over all. He rules not only in heaven among the angels, but He rules and reigns on the earth, among the nations of the earth and among the peoples of the earth. God is the ruler over all. He reigns among the sons of men, rewarding righteousness and punishing wickedness. And though this is, right, though the idea of God as king is a particular focus of these psalms, it is a repeated theme throughout the Psalter. It's something that the psalmists teach us to sing repeatedly, to remind ourselves God is the king. He is the ruler. He is the exalted one. Though people may imagine themselves to be exalted and a law unto themselves, they're not. We're not. I'm not. None of us is a law unto himself. God is the king. He is the ruler over all. Psalm 5, verse 2, give heed to the voice of my cry, my king and my God, for to you I will pray. Psalm 24, verses 7 and following, lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the king of glory shall come in. Who is the king of glory? The Lord. Strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates, lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Psalm 29, the Lord sat enthroned at the flood, and the Lord sits as King forever. Psalm 44, you are my king, O God. Command victories for Jacob. Psalm 47, sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises. For God is King of all the earth. Sing praises with understanding. He's King not just of Israel. He's King of all the earth. For God is my King from of old, Psalm 74, working salvation in the midst of the earth. Even the sparrow has found a home, Psalm 84, and the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Psalm 95, verse 3, for the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. Psalm 98, 6, shout joyfully before the Lord, the King. Psalm 145, verse 1, I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. God is the King. And it's something that we need as a people to be singing frequently, that we need to, that needs to be on our tongues, on our lips, in our hearts. God is the Lord. He rules. And because he's now exalted Jesus as his King on earth, as his Christ, his anointed one, the scriptures assure us that God will accomplish his purposes on earth. Justice will reign. Men will worship the Lord from the rising of the sun to its setting. Remember God's promise in Malachi. Cursed be the deceiver who sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished. Well, why? Why should that person, why does God announce a curse on the person who hypocritically comes into the presence of God to worship, who hypocritically comes into the assembly and comes to the Lord's table and hypocritically partakes of all the blessings of the covenant community? Why should that person be cursed? Well, God doesn't leave us in doubt. He says, for I am a great King, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is to be feared among the nations. For from the rising of the sun even to its going down, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. In every place incense shall be offered to my name and a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. God is the King, and he is zealous for his name's sake. He's zealous for the name of his Son. He's zealous to exalt his name in all the earth and to cause all the nations of the earth to bow before the Lord, every knee to bow and every tongue to confess that Jesus is Lord. It's in light of this confidence, right, that God is the King. He's the ruler. He's zealous for his name's sake, even more zealous than we are. He is zealous for the glory of his name. It's this confidence that that moved David, then we saw back in Psalm 11, to respond to the counsel of fear, right? David's counselors were telling him, flee as a bird to your mountain, right? Look after yourself. Get out of here. Everything's falling apart, David. You've got to get out of here and save yourself. Think of yourself. Get out of here and just flee. David refused to listen to such counsel. He refused to live in fear. He responded to such craven counsel with faith, right? Remember back in Psalm 11, if you're in the Psalms, remember verses 4 and following. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids test the sons of men. The Lord tests the righteous, but the wicked and the one who loves violence, his soul hates. Upon the wicked he will rain coals, fire and brimstone, and a burning wind shall be the portion of their cup. For the Lord is righteous, and he loves righteousness. His countenance beholds the upright. He beholds those who trust in him. He loves them. He cherishes them. And he works for their good. This is our hope. This is our confidence. And God has repeatedly borne testimony of his rule and of his sovereign power, especially at this time in the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord our God has come. Already, we witness the fulfillment of God's promise to cause justice to reign on the earth. But as believers who still await the consummation, right, who still await the return in glory of our Lord Jesus Christ to fulfill all things and to cause the last enemy, death, to be subdued underneath his feet wholly and completely. As believers in Christ at this time, we live not only in a knowledge of what God has done, but we also live in the not yet. We don't yet experience the fullness of God's power, the fullness of his glory. We still await the consummation of God's work in the world. And hence, we often struggle. We often struggle with the ongoing temporary prosperity and success of the wicked. We often grow frustrated with the continuing effects of the fall, with disease, with death, with sickness, with our own sin. We often groan under the weight of our sin. If God really does favor righteousness, then why does he still permit such struggles? Why not wipe them out immediately? Could do that. There are times when we feel overwhelmed with the continuing presence of unrighteousness. Times when the opposition of the wicked causes us great discouragement. Times when we're overwhelmed with our own continuing sinfulness and shortcomings. Times when sickness and disease and death just weigh on us. What do we do then? In light of God being the king, what do we do? We might reject the counsel of fear, right? We know that the counsel, David knew, no, I can't just flee and crave in fear. God is the king. He's the ruler. And yet, we might still find ourselves discouraged. How do we deal with discouragement in light of God ruling as the king? Well, Psalm 13 tells us what to do when we are discouraged by the continuing presence of wickedness in the world. In the world that belongs to our God. The world that belongs to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What do we do? How do we deal with discouragement? David, here in Psalm 13, models three principles that we might highlight. Verses 1 and 2, verses 3 and 4, and verses 5 and 6 each focus upon a different element of what we should do. God is the king, so what do we do when we feel discouraged by the state of the world? Number one, we express our longings to God. We express our longings to God, the king. Secondly, we should pray for God's sustenance and strength. Pray for God's sustenance and strength. And thirdly, remind yourself of God's mercies and sing. Remind yourself of God's mercies and sing. So let us look first at verses 1 and 2. Express your longings to God. Notice David's words. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? David is overwhelmed. He is sorrowful. His heart is heavy as he looks at the actions of his enemies, those who did not fear God and who did not fear David as God's anointed one, right? God's Christ. The intensity of his discouragement is shown by the repetition of this question, how long? Four times, right, he repeats the question, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? This fourth question identifies the source of David's discouragement on this occasion. Enemies are hounding him. They're out to get him and seem to be triumphing. God doesn't appear to be acting. He's not yet doing what he's promised for David. It is perhaps possible that this was written while Saul was still reigning as king, and David, though having been anointed by the Lord, was not yet installed as the king. He was trusting God to eventually fulfill his promise, but he was waiting. He was waiting on the Lord. How long, O Lord? So he cries out in anguish. He's afraid. Notice the first line. He's afraid that God has forgotten him. Now, of course, we know that omniscience does not forget. But we often feel this way, right? And David senses this, right? This is what it means to live by faith. To live by faith means that we don't live by sight. Right? Those are the two things that Paul contrasts, living by faith versus living by sight. We live as human beings by faith in the Lord of all. David lived by faith. He was afraid that God had forgotten him. Seems as though God is hiding his face. Notice the second question. How long will you hide your face from me? He was used to fellowship with God, but God, for some reason, in his providence, had left David be for a while, wasn't answering all of David's cries. How long shall I take counsel in my soul? Right? He's not getting counsel from God. He doesn't have a keen sense of God speaking to him clearly in his written word or through revelation, because David was a prophet. And so the only one he has to talk to, he feels, is himself. How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? David can endure anything so long as God is with him. But absent God's presence, David is alone and frightened. And this is, for some reason, God in his providence is putting David in this situation. And sometimes God in his providence puts us in those kinds of situations where for a time we feel absent God's presence, where enemies are triumphing over us, where our sin is afflicting us, where disease and death discourage us. And our Christ, Jesus, was no stranger to these things as well. Jesus faced this same agony of loss, especially on the cross. Jesus, remember, is the great singer of the Psalms, and these words are his words, and he cried out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? He cried out through his ministry as he faced opposition from various sectors, from Herod and from the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the chief priests, from all the people who should have been responding to him with joy, who, after he was baptized and anointed by the Spirit through the hands of John the Baptizer, when people should have recognized, this is the Christ. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And yet, it was very few people who followed Jesus. And at times, because of Jesus' hard teaching, many of his disciples left him. Very few stuck with him. How long, O Lord? How long? When the enemies of sin and death assaulted Jesus, he cried out to God, how long, O Lord, will you forget? And we too find ourselves discouraged by the work of the wicked. We find ourselves discouraged when injustice is on the increase. We find ourselves discouraged when our sin seems to assault us in greater strength. We find ourselves discouraged when the church is compromised and is failing to be a witness for Christ. We find ourselves discouraged when we're facing sickness. A number of you are facing a variety of sicknesses that seems like there's no solution. How long, O Lord? We cry out with the martyrs of Revelation. How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? So notice that David teaches us, right, in light of God being the king, he's the ruler, that it is our calling at such times, it is appropriate at such times, it is righteous at such times to express our longing to God. How long, O Lord? When we find ourselves discouraged by the triumph of the wicked, we're to take that discouragement to the Lord himself. God delights to hear the prayers and cries of his people. Indeed, one of the ways that God teaches us to long for justice, to long for righteousness, to long for peace, to long for the consummation of the kingdom, and to pray to him, is by confronting us with the evil of injustice. When we see the wicked triumph, right, we're not to become cynical and disheartened. We're not to become cynical and disheartened. Rather, we're to cry out to the Lord of justice to vindicate his name in all the earth. How long, O Lord? Rise up, O King of the nations. Manifest that you are the Lord. Don't become cynical. Cry out to God. When we face disease, when we are confronted by death, the death of a loved one, we aren't to become depressed, but to cry out to God to fulfill the promise which we know has been realized in the resurrection, that Christ has been given the keys of death and of hell. He has been given the keys of sickness as well. And one day, sickness and sorrow shall pass away. When we're discouraged by our own sin, we're not to become disheartened and give up the fight, but to cry out to the Lord, how long? Give me victory. Help me to triumph over this sin. When we're dismayed by the presence of sin in the church, we're not to withdraw from the church and retreat into a self-pity party, but to cry out to God, how long? Purify the church. Make us more humble and gracious toward one another. This is a righteous cry. Because if you don't cry this, guess what you'll do? You'll just start listening to yourself. Okay? You'll start listening to the sorrow that's in your heart all day. And you'll become cynical and you'll listen to Glenn Beck or something. Okay? Right? Beware, right, that our calling is to cry out to God and to trust in him. He is the Lord of all. He is the one who rules over all things. And we are to take our cries to him. Secondly, we're not only to take our longings to God, we are to pray for God's sustenance. Pray for God's sustenance. Notice verses 3 and 4. Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemies say, I have prevailed against him, lest those who trouble me rejoice when I am moved. Notice that David, as God's anointed, is crying out to God for deliverance from death. Save me from death, O Lord. Enlighten my eyes. Bring the light of life back into my countenance. Don't permit the darkness of death, despair, depression to envelop me. Don't permit my enemy to boast over me. because the enemies of David are the enemies of God. And now, that's not always the case in our, okay, in our personal situations, right? My personal enemies aren't always God's enemies. Okay? But if they're my enemies because they are God's enemies, then they are God's enemies. And what does it mean that God is the king? It means that he rules and he reigns over us. And he subdues all his and our enemies. That's the Westminster Shorter Catechism. That's good news. David is God's anointed. And so those who are opposing David and who are trying to overthrow David were the enemies of God. It is the same with our Lord Jesus. He was and is God's Christ. Are there many in our day who do not want Christ to rule over them? Yes. Were there many in Jesus' lifetime who did not want him to be the Christ, who did not want to recognize that he was God's Messiah, God's King? Yes. At his birth, Herod. Throughout his life, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Herodians, the chief priests. There were many who did not want to recognize him. Were there those who plotted against Jesus' life? Were there those who wanted to kill him and destroy him? Well, these, of course, are silly questions, right? Because we know that his calling was to come to die. But in the midst of his life, he cried out to God, God, deliver me. Deliver me from death. Rescue me from death. Did God rescue him? Yes, because on the third day, he rose again from the dead as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and God vindicated him in the face of his enemies. Right at his trial, the chief priest, the high priest, accused Jesus of blasphemy. He says, are you the Christ? And Jesus said to him, I am. And you shall see the Son of Man coming on clouds of glory. And God vindicated Jesus when the temple was destroyed, and God vindicated the name of his Son by illustrating Jesus is the King. And those priests who rejected him and who continued to reject him after his death and resurrection were judged. They did not boast. They were not able to boast over him. From that position of, from Jesus' position of glory, right, where he now sits as the ruler of the kings of the earth, as our greeting from Revelation announces, Jesus continues to manifest his power to this day, right? He manifests his power over sin by saving us from our sin and empowering us to live holy lives. He manifests his power over Satan by empowering us to fight the good fight and to rescue men and women who are held in Satan's clutches. He shows his power over death by enabling us to face death and disease in faith and to live in hope of the resurrection of the dead. And so we too, at our time, right, we pray this psalm. We pray, God, rescue us from death. That's not always fulfilled by a deliverance from the things through which we're suffering, but we know that God, in his grace and mercy, shall fulfill all these promises in the resurrection. We too shall rise. God's promises shall reach their fulfillment. We live in hope. We pray that God would enlighten our eyes, that he would rescue us from death through the resurrection power of Jesus, that he would grant us victory over sin for the sake of his holy name. And if there are those who are opposing us because we stand for the name of Christ, then we pray that they would not be able to boast over us, but that God would vindicate his name in the earth. So we're not only to cry out to God, right, to express our longings to God, but to pray for God's sustenance. God, enlighten me, strengthen me, help me. Help me to face this onslaught of the wicked. Help me to deal with this sin. Help me to deal with death, sickness. Finally, David teaches us to remind ourselves of God's mercies and to sing. Notice verses 5 and 6. But I have trusted in your mercy. He's trusted in God's mercy. God has said to David, David, I'm with you. You are my anointed. You are mine. I will not depart from you. I will not desert you. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. God is the one who shall deliver me. God is the one who shall lift me up. God is the one who shall save me from my enemies. So, verse 6, I will sing to the Lord because he's dealt bountifully with me. Graciously, fully, he's dealt bountifully with me. Notice David recalls here God's mercies to him. He knows how merciful God has been. He was the youngest of all these sons, a shepherd. He was a nobody. And yet God chose him to be king over his people. He had no stately form. So notice a few things here about our Messiah, our Jesus, our Christ, who trusted in the Lord, who trusted in God's mercy, who rejoiced in God's salvation, who declared to his disciples that all that the Father shows me, all that the Father shows me, that's what I do. I do whatever God shows me to do. As the Father does, I do. I don't do anything apart from my Father. Jesus entrusted himself to the will of God even in the face of death. Not my will, O Lord, but thine be done. He trusted God. And he sang the psalms and hymns regularly, right? We're told at various points where Jesus goes out with the disciples to sing. We're told where Jesus goes out in the evenings to pray extensively through the night. Well, what was he praying? Well, often he was praying these psalms, singing the psalms. And so notice then, this is to work its way into our own lives as we respond to the trials that we face, right? When we know God is the King, and yet we can get discouraged at times. So what do? We cry out to God. We pray that God would sustain us. And then we remind ourselves of God's mercies in the past. We look back and we see, look at all that God has done for me. Look at all that God has done for our people. Look at the history in the Word of God. Look at the history of God's dealings in the New Testament. Look at his history throughout the history, or his dealings with our people throughout the history of the church. And then look at his dealings in your life and the mercies that he's shown you. Look at those things and sing. Right? Remember God's mercies. Remember God's graces. Don't forget the ways in which God has manifest that he is indeed the King, that he is the ruler. So David teaches us that because God is the King, because he is the exalted ruler over heaven and earth, because he's exalted Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, therefore we should express our longings to God because he hears us. He cares and he acts on behalf of his people. He delights to hear the cries of his people. Secondly, we are to pray for God's sustenance. He answers our prayers. He empowers us to deal with things we would have never thought we could have endured. He sustains us by his grace. And thirdly, we're to remind ourselves of God's mercies and sing. He has answered us in the past. He will yet answer us again. And so we are to live in hope, hope of the resurrection, hope of God's rule as King. And each week, he brings us to the table so that we can touch and taste the deliverance that he has wrought on our behalf. Our memory of Christ is not merely cerebral, but tactile. We touch the bread and chew upon it. We smell the wine and we swallow it. God truly has dealt bountifully with us, and he will yet deal more bountifully with us in the consummation of all things. And so let us give thanks and sing this morning. Our God and our Father, we thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that as your anointed, he put his faith in you. He trusted you to fulfill all your promises. He cried out to you to deliver him from death, and you did. Father, as we consider your work through our anointed Jesus, that he came to give himself for us, the just for the unjust, that he might reconcile us with you, and that we might be anointed by your Spirit in the waters of baptism, we pray, O Lord, that you would bless us and strengthen us and empower us to honor you, to cry out to you for mercy and grace, to remember your blessings, and so to be sustained by your Spirit for our walk. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.